As for you know, the Canadian side, we're almost on our way to the Olympic Games. We look forward to that. And the World Cup's calling our name, but it's not going to be easy to jump through some of these hoops, including Alfonso Davies not playing in this third window of World Cup qualifying. To chat about it, here's our good friend Andy Petrillo. Andy, you are the voice of reason, I think, when it comes to soccer in this country and the national team, and you know how we roll on this show. We love playing level of concern. What's your level of concern with Alfonso Davies not available for the next three games?
Oh, well, now you set me up, because I was going to come on and say everyone needs to hit the panic button. But okay. That's not true. And you're right. Voice of reason. The reason why the Canadians right now in this final round of World Cup qualifying are sitting in first place is because they have an incredible team. And, of course, you're going to want Alfonso Davies in your lineup. You're not going to want him out. But they're not where they are, sitting in first ahead of the United States and Mexico, two nations who have been dominating CONCACAF for years. You don't have Canada sitting in front of them right now by just, you know, one guy getting the job done. It's been an absolute team effort. So this is disappointing news. It stinks. There's no two way about it. You obviously also wish the human being, you know, a ton of well wishes, and hopefully, you know, he'll feel better soon. But no, I mean, Canada, the way they've been playing, it has been 11 men on the pitch. It's been next man up. One guy goes down, another guy subs in, no problem. They John Herdman has created a very well-oiled machine here. So there's still a lot to be positive about, but will he be missed in particular for that January 30th home game against the U.S.? For sure. But again, there's so many other players who we know are going to step up.
Well, I look at this three-pack of games where two of them are on the road, at Honduras, at El Salvador, and in between it's going to be the Americans up here in Hamilton. Clearly, mm-hmm. the American game is the significant game. That's two powerhouses, rivals. They went down to Nashville earlier in this qualifying and got a draw. That was a massive point for them. I think they'd sign up right now at another draw. If you could get 1 point against the Americans and walk away, you'd be happy with it. But I think considering the way the math works, where if you're one of the top three teams, you get an automatic into the World Cup, and if you're fourth, you go into a separate form of qualification, and it feels as if with Panama and the other three countries sitting atop the table right now, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. These four are going to be in some capacity. I'm wondering, Andy, is the game in Honduras, the game in El Salvador, is that more important because you've got to get the points? Like, you've got to pick up points, and you just want to keep pace here. You don't have to beat Mexico or the Americans. Who cares if you're third? You just got to get into the World Cup. How would you mm-hmm. kind of qualify the importance, the American game at home, the significance of that compared to the two on the road?
Bang on, and you're figuring out how to decipher, you know, the mathematics and all the different equations when it comes to World Cup qualifying, right? Like, go on the road. I mean, usually it's, you know, go on the road, get a point, and win your games at home. And usually you've guaranteed yourself a chance or a spot in the World Cup. But in this particular case, it's those two road games which really do seem to be a given. Get the full points. El Salvador is second last, sitting in seventh. Canada beat them already in this qualifying campaign 3-0, by the way, without Alfonso Davies.
Right.
They sent him home. Remember that he ended up injuring his knee. Honduras is dead last with zero wins so far. And Honduras is actually who Canada started this third round of qualifying against, a 1-1 draw at home. And I remember, like, you could cut the tension at BMO Field with a knife, because the Canadian squad in its entirety actually hadn't played together since June. And Herdman was nervous. And this at this point was September. And he's like, I don't know, these guys are still getting used to each other. And unfortunately, and I do say unfortunately, that was a 1-1 draw. That should have been a win. But you know Canada's not going to let that happen again. But to your point, you beat those teams, which you should beat based on the standings, and those teams are not very good, then yes, you go home and you would be very happy with a draw against the United States. They're just right now 1 point back of Canada. So now, you know, that kind of old, you know, get the points, you know, at least a draw on the road, get the win at home. It's kind of flipped a little bit here based on where the opponents now are in the standings.
Yeah, and we're chatting with Andy Petrillo. They got six games left, Canada, to punch a ticket into the World Cup. And the way this is going to work out, the last game they're going to play in qualifying is against Panama. in Panama. And this is where banking points, and you want to go down there and know you're in, right? Like, if let's say Panama's within 2 points of them for the third seeding, that's the biggest game in Canadian soccer history, or close to it. I mean, it would be as big as it gets. You got to bank the points so you get to that final match, and hopefully you're home free, and it's a foregone conclusion, because, as I just said, it looks like it's going to be the U.S., Mexico, Canada, Panama. Those are the four teams fighting for those top three spots.
Yeah, and this is so crazy. I just want, like, and I know a lot of people know this, but just to kind of wrap your head around the process to qualify for a World Cup, they began their World Cup campaign in March, right? Like, we're going to be heading a full year here of them qualifying in that first round, having to get to the second round, now having to get to the third round. Like, this is an absolute grind. It's a chess match, and it is a matter of where can you get your point? How do you put yourself in a proper situation? And, yeah, I mean, Panama, they're not going away. Again, they faced them already. 4-1, they were winners. That produced the viral, iconic goal by Alphonso Davies, as we know. That was in that game against Panama. But Panama is just like, yeah, they are just not going away. Again, in that November window, I mean, they were down to El Salvador in the first minute. We thought, oh, thank you, El Salvador. You absolutely stink, but maybe you're going to do Canada a favor here. Nah, they blew it. You know, back-to-back goals by Panama, they end up winning 2-1 and gain those crucial points. So, yeah, I mean, try to bank as many of these points now in this window, and then we'll see. We'll see what Canada can end up doing here, because if I'm not mistaken, four of their remaining six games are also on the road, right? So,
that's right.
I mean, this is, yeah, so, you know, they're going to go into, again, some hostile environments. Even though they'll go in as the better team, they're still going to go into some hostile environments. So it's buckle up. It's going to be a ride to the finish here for sure.
Yeah, we absolutely will. We're chatting with Andy Petrillo. Go ahead,
Andy, you mentioned hostile environments, and somebody said this on one of our last soccer comments, that urine bags were being thrown from the stands. Like, what's the grossest thing you've ever seen at, like, an away venue or, like, a hostile environment?
Well, I have fortunately, I mean, I've seen stupid things, which is
such
also
as?
Still equally as unfortunate. Well, I mean, I've witnessed, obviously, yes, the bags of urine. I have not seen that because I have not been down to South America to watch a game, but I've definitely seen the fans crowding around a bus. And there's been some, I mean, I even speak to some former players, and it's like some frightening stories too, where literally the bus driver, so they'll wait inside the building. They'll be in the garage unit and they can hear the fans outside, the garage doors shaking, like you can feel the building shaking. And I've had players who have been on national teams and they play in South America, and they say the bus driver turns around and says, everybody put your head between your knees, duck, I'm going to gun it. And that's literally what they do. They put their heads down like they're bobsledders. The garage door goes up and the bus driver just slams on that gas, and all they can hear is boom, boom, ching, like just things hitting the bus, bricks, stones, like you name it. And they're just trying to get out of there, right? Like a bat out of hell. And I'm just hearing these stories. I'm like, what a disaster.
No kidding. No kidding. We throw waffles on the ice and there's a summit at City Hall. People are losing their minds. Meanwhile, down there, that's a reaction. That's genuine vitriol and hate right there.
Yeah.
That's
listen, I can also tell you, and you know, you get a little worried here, but you know, Toronto FC, again, as you know, my husband's position with the team, when they were playing in CONCACAF Champions League and they had to go to certain places, they had military escorts bringing them through from the airport to their hotels. And you're hearing this going, oh my God, like, what are you doing? Like, you play soccer for a living. Why do you need military escorts?
No
but
kidding.
That's the world, right?
That's
the world
it.
Of soccer.
That's it. Absolutely. With Andy Petrillo of One Soccer and CBC Sports. And the Olympic Games are coming around. That means we're going to be seeing you, what, 15 hours a day on TV, Andy? What's your schedule looking like in a few weeks?
I'm going to end up haunting your dreams, Hayes. Every time you turn on the TV, you're like, again?
There's Andy.
There's Andy. So, yeah, I have the morning shift. So people get to wake up with yours truly. So if your day goes poorly, please don't blame me. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'll be up 6 a.m. to noon ET. every day, and from February 4th to the 20th, it's feeling so real right now, and kind of like a scary real, because even though I know, so all the federations have to get their teams in by January 24th. So by January 24th, we will know all the Canadian athletes who will be representing Canada, but they're all going into bubbles now. Like the ones who do know who's going, they're all going into bubbles now because they just don't want to risk any kind of exposure. They're not seeing friends. They're not seeing family. They're just living like hermits right now to stay as safe as possible.
Andy, before we get you out of here, were you very excited that your buddy Frederik Andersen made the All-Star team?
Okay, was there any doubt that my boy Freddie would go on to solidify his status as an exceptional goaltender in the league? It'd be great. Love it. Can't wait to see him.
It was a lock. It was a lock.
It was an absolute lock. But I got to say this. I was also told before I go that if I don't say this, now I would like to say it anyways, but I've been told by a household who supports the Eagles that I have to say, fly, Eagles, fly. Sorry, old dog, I know you love your boy Brady.
Let me ask you this, Andy. The term in NFL football when a team likes a muddy track is like when it's really wet and sloppy out there. Like, they're good in the slop. Would you say that about the Eagles? Like, do you have any knowledge of that, or do you have any recollection of them being good in the slop? Because our host here claims that the Eagles are
That's
good
a reputation.
In the...
That's the reputation. I'm calling for rain.
In the 70s, when Ron Jaworski was the quarterback, maybe. Andy, do you have any knowledge of them being good in the slop, whatever that means?
Yeah, listen, all I know is that obviously we're going to compare who would have a better, you know, who's just a better quarterback. We know that Brady is far better. But to your point, sometimes when the elements make things a little dodgy, the guy who maybe is not as skilled can take full advantage of that. And I think Jalen Hurts can rise to the occasion in that particular moment.
That's right. That's right. That's smart money right there. Andy knows what's up. And I don't need them to win, Andy. I just need them to cover. You know, I don't care if they win, with all due respect. But just cover the number. I'm getting 8 points, I think it is. 8.5. So
I can
sloppy
appreciate
and,
the betting. I can appreciate that.
Yep. Okay. No, fly, Eagle, fly. You and I, we're both seeing it the same way. We're on them this weekend. We look forward to it. And
love it.
We'll catch up soon, I'm sure. And we can't wait to see you in the Olympic Games and the whole nine. So we'll do it again soon. Thank you, Andy.
Thanks, guys.
There's our good friend Andy Petrillo of One Soccer and CBC Sports. Big Eagles fan, the household, big Eagles fans. And she's right. Jalen Hurts, man. You get now, the weather, who knows? Like, it can turn down in Florida. Maybe watch, it'll be 75 and sunny. It'll be beautiful down there. Brady will throw for 450 yards. But if it gets ugly at all, that can neutralize things. And all of a sudden, Brady maybe feels uncomfortable. Jalen Hurts could find a way to equal the playing field a little bit. I guess that's what I'm asking for. I didn't pick that game. I was subjected to the Eagles, but I'll take it.
If Brady has an off game at his age, people always question, right? Like, say he has an off game and they lose. Are people going to be like, well, is it time for this guy to hang it up?
This happened like 5 years ago in Denver. He was garbage. He was throwing the football away. He was terrible. Yeah. And Denver spanked him. And I'm like, maybe that's it. And this guy's won 3 Super Bowls after that.
Right. He's been to like 4 since then. That was before they went to, I think, 3 in a row.
Remember that game, Hayes? It was like cold in Denver, and he was slipping and falling and throwing it all over. I'm like, this is Brady's. This is it. I'm watching Brady's last game.
That was when Denver won the Super Bowl that year. Peyton, when Peyton couldn't throw the ball down the field, and Brock Osweiler was getting starts down the stretch. Jeez. But that was Von Miller and that was ugly. You're right. It was ugly. Like, it was, he can't play in the cold, and if he's up against a tough defense, he looks uncomfortable. That was in like 2015 or something.
I thought he was done. I was like, this is it. See you later. Thank you for everything.
Yeah.
And he's still cooking.
Agreed. Yep.